Welcome everybody to our webinar together with Deutsche Telekom, adding the human factor crowd testing in agile developments. First, I would like to do some basic housekeeping, present our agenda so you know roughly what you can expect out of this webinar. And now, we would like to present our speakers, Alexander Kiefer from the Deutsche Telekom AG. He is a technical project manager owner. Mike Broson, also from Deutsche Telekom, test and quality manager. And David Lukiele from TestBirds, our project manager. Now I would like to hand over to Alex Kiefer.
Yeah, hi everybody. As mentioned before, my name is Alexander Kiefer. I'm working for Deutsche Telekom for the email product for about 10 years now, and I will tell you something about what we had to deal with and how our testing evolution was and how we became testing with TestBirds. First slide, you see some greater numbers we had to deal with down the time when we started. So we had about 24 million mailboxes active in our email system, and the main client we had some an effect on and which we were testing was the webmail client, which has had about 3.6 million unique customers per month. So this is a story I'm telling you about in the next slide. Yeah, how we started. 10 years ago, I started in an quality management department at Deutsche Telekom, where also Mike Broson was working with. And we just worked in a classical waterfall. So we had, yeah, kind of one and a half or 2 years of conception, specification phase, system design, and then writing tons of requirement documents that were hand over to development and to quality management. And yeah, development started writing code for about a year or one and a half. And quality management, we started to write test cases we wanted to test. After a year or one and a half of development, some sort of software was handed over to us, to quality management, and we started testing. Such a testing phase was at least 3 months, maybe half a year, with about 30 people sitting in a room, clicking through all the test cases in different browsers and clients. So the development and the rollout of a piece of software could take a whole lot of time. After a reorganization in our unit, we were forced to become agile. And Mike Broson and me, we were taken from the quality management department and were put into a development department and sat together with the developers and had to form a new agile team or several agile teams. And now we started the classical agile way, maybe as everybody of you know, with some sprints, and the development phase within the sprint was about 1 month. So it was okay in the beginning, because we started a whole new project with a new webmail interface, which was brand new from the first line of code. And it was okay for the first half of a year to test everything within this sprints. But after a while, the piece of software became so huge and complex. So after each sprint, we had to put an extra test phase for regression testing. And so we had, after each sprint, we had a 2 week extra sprint for regression testing to put in the reports again within the next sprint. And it took a whole lot of time again. But that shouldn't be the thing of working agile, to put things out in a quicker way. So we started thinking about how can we make this test phase quicker, or even that quick, that it can be reintegrated into the development phase, so into the sprints. So yeah, what was the idea? On the next slide, you see it wasn't a complex idea. We wanted to automate. One thing we met up with when we thought about automation was this agile testing pyramid. So in some traditional methods like the waterfall system, you usually have a whole lot of end-to-end manual end-to-end testing in the end of the development. So after 1.5 years, sitting down for 3 or 4 months and testing. Maybe if you're lucky, you have a good set of integration testing and maybe also some automated unit tests within the code from the developer. But in my opinion, this wasn't the case all in the most of the times. So in agile methods such as Scrum, you usually test the most things down in the code, very close to the code with unit testing, then a whole lot of integration testing, and only a very small amount of manual end-to-end testing. So in the end, just going down the straight way through the application and check if it's right. I marked this traditional method in this case because we, in the first way, we stuck a bit in this traditional pyramid because we started off with automating the end-to-end tests. It's a good idea, but from the present point of view, I would have done it in another way. So we had to deal with several challenges within this. How can we automate? How do we get an infrastructure? Because we then started with some Selenium, writing some test cases, and putting up about 8 to 10 desktop PCs are under dashboards where we put Selenium to, and then we had to housekeep these desktops all the time, shutting them up for some updates, looking why the Internet Explorer crashed, and also, and it took a whole lot of time. So on the next slide, I will show you the fact sheet that I created to talk with our stakeholders and to convince them to work with another testing vendor, which then, as you see in this slide, became TestBirds. We had an actual testing. We had a test management. We had some manual testing within our sprints. We had these regression test sprints. We had some automated tests with Selenium. We had an okay running test infrastructure. We had testers. It wasn't our target audience for the application itself, but there were testers. So we had everything. Should have been lucky, but it wasn't the way we wanted to succeed with the quality of our software. So in the first step, we talked with the testing vendor, a specialized consulting company only focused on quality management. They could have optimized our test management. They could have written a whole lot of automation tests, but yeah, manual testing as a target audience would have been the same. They would have been sitting about 5 or 6 testers all the time clicking through our test cases. And they said, oh no, test infrastructure, no, we won't deliver that. It's too many work to keep up with the Windows updates and dealing with the browsers. So, okay. Next attempt, we went to our dev vendor, the company who made the development, and we asked them, hey, why don't you set up a testing team in your house and you do this? Okay, we could do that. We can deliver the test manual testing and we can write the test cases. But even they said no test infrastructure, and maybe it's not the best idea to let the developer or the developer company itself test the software. So in the next time, I was looking to some other testing vendors in Germany, and found out about test birds. And I had an inspiration talk to Philip down the time, and we encountered that test birds could deliver test management, they could deliver the manual testing with their crowd, which was also a very great idea about our target audience to switch testers in each test cyclus and to have different testers, and also to tell test birds, hey, there's some specialty, we need some special customers to test our application. Yeah, and they could deliver us our test infrastructure and they could automate our tests. And as you see by the percentages, they weren't that expensive as we encountered them to be. Yeah. That was the history about where we came from, what we are dealing with, and how we came to TestBirds. So I will now hand over to Mike Brosson, and he will tell me how we're working together with TestBirds in the actual development. Thank you.
Hi, Mike Brosson here. I'm also working for German Telecom for quite some time by now. My specialties are test and quality management and acting as a Scrum Master for various projects. As Alex mentioned, we both came from a centralized quality department and were thrown into a specialized development department after a reorganization. One of my bigger projects I had to deal with was Telecom Mail app. This was a new step for us since this is the first app we developed within our department. So it was some sort of experimenting ground. But in the end, we came out with two versions of the app, one for iOS and one for Android. And we both have, both versions are optimized for phone and tablet. And yeah, there was quite some stuff to do. On the next slide, I will talk a bit about our development approach. At first, we started with an agile team that was located in Romania in a classical nearshore approach. We had a whole team featuring all roles except the PO that was located in Germany. So we had a team feature testing, we had development within the team. We had an automation suite for regression testing. We had a Scrum Master over there that dealt with any kind of organizational stuff from their side. We also had one in Germany. So we had basically two Scrum Masters for those teams. This approach had some challenges as we discovered over the time, over the years. The first thing that we discovered were the point of cultural differences. This is pretty obvious since in Romania, they work a little bit different than we were expecting them to work. And to be honest, also the mindset was not the same that we had. And yeah, this was something we had to deal with. But on the more professional side, we also had to deal with trivial aspects like device availability. This is a bit complicated due to our own company processes for getting these devices. It could take up to 8 weeks to get a brand new device. And if your management really wants to feature, for instance, the latest Google device, it is a bit cumbersome if you have to wait 8 weeks till the device hit your office, and then you still need to hand it over to the colleagues in Romania. So I would say between 8 and 10 weeks till we get new devices were not an exception. Basically, the same is true for our SIM cards. Since we here had also a very complicated process for getting these SIM cards, especially since I had to have the roaming ability activated. And our upper management is a bit hesitant when it comes to roaming. We also had our automation frameworks, and over the time we discovered that they were not as stable as we would like them to be. There were several reasons for this. Some were lies in the infrastructure. For instance, as we started, the ADB connection for Android devices was not very stable. So every hour or every 2 hours, we had to manually reconnect our devices to the test machine, which was not very helpful, especially for overnight testing. But also our application, since it is an email application, is working asynchronous. So if you send an email, you have to implement various retry and wait mechanics to make sure that the email is reaching the destination, which is unfortunately a bit out of our control. And last but not least, we also had some sort of OS restrictions that were quite limiting our automation strategy. Just one example, as we started with, I think, Xcode 7 or 8. And by that time, it was only allowed to connect one device per Xcode installation. This was a limitation by Apple. I think they changed that with Xcode 10, but they, in the same way, they also just disabled the old automation framework and forced everyone to switch to the new one. And that was basically the time where we decided we need to change something. And on the next slide, I want to talk a bit about our current approach. So in the first step we took development back to Germany. So we changed our development partner. Now it's a company that is located in Germany. They are still working agile. They are still having developers and testers in one team. But the big part is here with the regression testing, and that's where TestBirds comes into play. We decided to go that route, especially since our automation frameworks were not as fast and as reliable as we wished it. And since we already had very good experiences with TestBirds from our webmail application and from other projects, we evaluated if that could fit for our mobile application development as well. The advantages that we directly discovered were very obvious. For instance, TestBirds can provide a very large device pool. There is basically no limitation in devices that we can request. And this also includes some exotics. We don't have to hand the devices to any other vendor. There's no need to send them to a foreign country, for instance. And the biggest advantage on the device part is we have to deal with real customer devices and not with clean testing devices where all kind of stuff runs that is just for testing purposes. Here we have a real customer ecosystem. And this was basically the first time we really could test how our app behaves on a real customer device without releasing it to the public crowd or our customers. Another big advantage is that we also discovered that the test setup with TestBird went very smooth and very fast. I think David will talk about that a bit later. And also the test execution is a lot faster than our combination of automation and manual regression testing was. And the biggest point from my point of view is also that we get an independent fresh view on our application, since it is more unlikely that we get the same testers over and over and over again. So we always get a fresh independent view. And this also reflects in the amount of bugs we get. So as we, the very first iteration that we did with TestBirds, even our vendor was surprised how many bugs were all of a sudden found in the application, bugs that no one has ever thought about. It was quite interesting to do this change. And yeah, the first results were, let's say, overwhelming in the amount of bugs and issues that were found. By now, we have found a very regular way of doing our tests. So we basically use 3 to 4 iterations or areas where we use TestBirds. First of all, it's our regression testing, as I mentioned beforehand. And of course, also we like to use some exploratory testing for mainly when we want to test a bit left and right from our test set, but also when new OS systems are released in early beta stages, we often use test birds to fire our app against the latest beta versions. And a feature or a server that we started to use lately is the bug bounty, where we try to find the reproduction steps for certain behavior that gets reported by our customers, but that neither our developer nor we can really reproduce. Yes, and that's it for my part and for our approach with test birds. Now I would like to hand over to David to talk about how it is done.
Thank you, Mike. Hi, my name is David. As Marcus said, product manager at TestBirds. Before I started at TestBirds, I was responsible for e-learning projects, also as a project manager. So I know a bit about the view of a project manager on the development side. And I was always interested in testing, so I came to TestBirds. At TestBirds, as a project manager and test consultant, I consult the clients. I set up and create the tests, creating test concepts, manage the testers during the test if they have problems. And in the end, I present the results. The timelines are always important. We all know that. And when you want to be agile and develop very flexible, I would say testing should not cost you a lot of time. So a short timeline matters here the most. When you have a look at the real timeline here that we as TestBirds use to test for Deutsche Telekom, we have a weekly sure fix every Tuesday where Telekom can tell us what is going on next on a regular basis. And when we get a go on Tuesday or Wednesday latest, we start the invitation phase for our testers. Our tester get a notification, hey, here's a test. If you want, if you have time, you can sign up and you can start testing. From Wednesday to Friday, we prepare the test and finalize it. We prepare all the test tasks for them. And on Friday is the test start normally. The test start on Friday, which I've heard matches perfectly with the Telekom release routine. For our testers, then the test stops on Sunday, so they have the whole weekend to test. And we start back on Monday in the office with the QA, so the quality assurance. We're reading through all the reports, mainly the bug reports, and we're preparing the final bug list. For the next Tuesday then, we then have already scheduled the meeting, around about 2 hours long, and we go through the whole list of bugs together with other responsible persons, including the developer team. On the next slide, yes, maybe you're thinking now, well, crowd testing for me is kind of known already, but it's for us, it's more than just a couple of testers clicking through the application and report bugs here. What Telekom needs, as Alex and Mike said, they need kind of a complete testing department performing all their test cases before release. So we set up one of our services that is named Structured Bug Testing. We invite enough testers to cover the number of test cases and the needed device at the same time. So normally Telekom needs for a regression test 5 to 8 different devices. And they have a test script with 3 to 5,000 steps. So click here, that should happen. Input that should happen. All with the expected results, classical testing, test case testing, step, expected result. How we do that? We split this into a couple of subtests and have in total 50 to 80 testers per test run. And they in total report between 15 to 40,000 results. each result per step, plus the bug report. So over a whole weekend, we have 15 to 40,000 results. But that's not all. Besides that, on the next slide, we do another test in parallel. That's our exploratory bug testing. From the number of results, it's not that impressive, but the regression test, it helps the client to let the crowd check for side effects. So they explore the application, and another group of testers explore the application and try to find something that is not written in the test cases. In the exploratory testing, everything is allowed to be tested, and we guide the testers a little bit with some use cases through the application. The next slide. I personally really like the numbers of structured bug testing, because they show how scalable the crowd is. So we can perform or run test scripts, thousands of steps and test cases long, in parallel with a high amount of testers over a weekend. And at the beginning of the next week, you as a client, you can have the results. And every one of us knows that testing automation can do a lot more and also in a shorter time, but it also costs you a lot to maintain it. And to add the human factor, the crowd can think. What I mean with that, if a test automation script notices that something is not in line with the expected result, it will throw an error, or in the worst case, it would stop completely. A real human here, like our testers, will try to solve it in a different way. If the step doesn't work, we can also identify errors in the test script backwards, and they play around with it and try to get an result, a real result that matters for our client. And you don't have to implement complex fallback loops in your test automation to cover such unwanted errors. With our crowd, you'll get results, as Mike already mentioned, from real devices, so not from emulators or simulators. And if you need, you could also do follow-up tests, like Mike mentioned, the bug bounty, when an error is not really producible and you want to get more information, maybe on more devices, you can run a bug bounty afterwards or a retest, throw a couple of fixed bugs into one of our tests, and the client gets feedback if they still occur or they are really fixed. In the end, to add more of the human factor, as we named that webinar here, you could also ask for feedback from your target group. You can also invite testers that fits your target group, and together with functional tests, you can run in parallel a lot of tests on your digital products. That's our main area, and in nearly every real world condition that you need. Thank you, and back to Marcus.
And thanks, have a nice day, and bye-bye.